This is Average Cast, where we gather on a weekly basis to talk about the things that interest us personally, which are usually average things. Who is us, you may ask? Well, I am Zach Flahas, your host and failed podcast producer of many years.
Oh, that's so harsh.
It's true, though. And joining me, the other voice on the other end, is my good friend Izzy.
Izzy, how are you doing? I'm good, thank you.
Oh, that's good. So, as you can probably hear in the background, which I'm trying my best to reduce, she has construction going on because you live in the middle of frickin' New York City.
Well, not in the middle. I live in Queens.
Well, okay. Well, you know, it's close enough.
It's a very densely populated area, to put it lightly.
Yes, to put it lightly. So this is our first podcast, as you can tell by episode one, which really we should call like beta, which
beta,
I guess
beta,
would
beta.
Be alpha. Maybe that'll be the title, beta.
beta, alpha. Yay.
What we're aiming to do, do you know what we're aiming to do on this podcast?
Well, we're going to talk about something.
Well, good job. I meant in general.
We're going to talk about something for a long time.
That long time will hopefully be less than an hour. Yeah. Well, we're aiming to basically go, we're going to talk about things that interest us, as we mentioned in the beginning, whether it be Star Wars or personal events, current events, politics, maybe a lot of pop culture and things like that. What do you think?
Sounds like a plan. I mean, it's the average things that we're interested in, averagely.
It's the name Average Cast.
Average.
Well, I guess we'll get started. What do you say?
All right. Let's go.
Is there anything you want to plug about yourself right before we get started, really?
Not really. Should I be doing this? Should I be?
No. I don't know. It's up to you.
Should I fluff myself up a little bit?
That sounds dirty, but...
It does, doesn't it? Forget it. Let's move on.
Okay, well, our first topic of the day, very fitting for both of us, our first topic of the podcast, I guess. We may get into another topic, but I doubt it. It's going to be Star Wars. And the funny thing is, I've had, like, two sites that I've tried to do Star Wars stuff and a Star Wars dedicated podcast, and no traction came from it. So we'll just merge everything into one giant happy podcast. How's that?
Well, I'm not going to say that nothing came of it, really. You did gain some traction with the last one, the most recent one.
Yeah.
You know, just, you know, schedules didn't really match up too well, I guess.
Yeah, and that's the thing. My schedule is always a freaking in motion.
This is true.
Especially working from home whenever you don't have a schedule.
That is also
your schedule
true.
Is whenever you're awake and whenever you're not sleeping. And whenever you are sleeping sometimes. Anyway.
Naps are important.
I've kind of discussed my backgrounds with Star Wars, but to get started, why don't you tell us how you got introduced into Star Wars?
Well, my dad was a fan, so... He basically got us to watch all the early movies when we were little kids. So we basically grew up with Star Wars. And then I kind of fell out of interest after episode 3. But then I came back into it with all the video games, particularly Republic Commando. I was a huge fan of Republic Commando. Oh my god, I put so many hours into that game, I'm not even going to talk about that. But I did buy all of the books tied in with Republic Commando, and then I watched the Clone Wars cartoon series. I also bought other
the original books. Clone Wars.
The original Clone Wars. I also bought other books related to the Clone Wars just to get different perspectives, and then I was really excited for the Clone Wars cartoon, the more recent animated series.
The CGI, as we...
Yes. And then now I'm a huge fan of Rebels, so that's my history.
Which is a good thing. Mm-hmm. I'll kind of recap mine. Mine started as well with my dad. I watched them whenever I was young, which that was pre-99, pre-Phantom Menace style. And I remember having like an old TV in my room and an ancient VCR and stealing the trilogy set on VHS and playing them in my room a few times. Yeah, shut up. And it also helped that I had like a giant stereo system hooked up to it because it was previously in the basement. They said, well, do you want this? I'm like, you know, I'm 8. Yeah, I want it. I want to blast everything loudly.
I want all of it right
now.
I want
everything. Everything you can offer me right now.
All for me.
And so at the time, my sister saw episode 1 more than I did, which she was old enough to drive herself to the movie theater at that point. I was like 8.
No.
So I'm like, okay, whatever. But, you know, in hindsight, I don't really miss that fact that I wasn't able to go as much as I wanted to episode 1 at least. And then I saw 2 and 3 in theaters, and actually episode 3, that was 2005, right?
I think so.
And that was when my dad discovered that I was taller than him.
Oh my goodness.
We came out of the movie theater and he didn't really say anything until got home and talked to my mom and said, he's taller than me. She said, yeah, you just now noticed that. I think I was taller than him since like 2004. So that's my little bit. After that, kind of played some of the games, got a little bit out of touch. I didn't play Republic Commando when it came out. Well, I take that back. I had the original Xbox, and there was like some kind of demo disc that I got somehow, and it had one of the levels of Republic Commando, and I played that over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
It was... I can't tell you which one. I think it was one on a droid ship. Droid ship, maybe? I don't know.
Was it a derelict ship? That one?
I don't think so.
No.
I don't know. I have to go back and replay it again anyway. And then, I got Empire at War.
Ooh.
Did you ever play that game?
No, I didn't. I played Battlefront. I played a lot of The Old Republic, Knights of the Old Republic.
You really should get Empire at War. It's on Steam, and like get the Gold Edition, which has the expansion pack built into it.
Well, if it's with the Star Wars bundle that was on sale, I bought everything. So
okay, well, download it then.
It's probably already installed.
That's your homework. Play
more video games.
Play more video games. Yeah, I played that game so much, I think I wore out that computer. And then, like you said, got Battlefront 1 and 2 for the Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
That was a lot of time. And I really missed those games, but they're coming back, kind of, sort of. And then I didn't really get... I kind of watched the Genndy, whatever, Tartakovsky Clone Wars, kind of, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got hooked on the Clone Wars in 2011, whenever I was in college. I never really paid attention to it while it was first running because I figured, it's just a kid's thing, you know, the kind of common misconception that a lot of people have.
Yeah.
But I was glad to learned that I was wrong.
Okay.
And I watched some of them on some questionable sites?
..
But it's not like they were on Netflix or Hulu or CartoonNetwork.com or anything. And then, you know, 2012 rolls around. They're sold to Disney.
Disney.
And then, you know, everything just kind of tumbled after that. in a good way. I will say in a good way.
Yes.
I don't know.
I mean, and obviously, people who were fans of the Clone Wars and people who were looking forward to 1313 were not really excited.
Yeah,
to hear that projects were canceled.
I'll get to that in a second. Other than that, you know, I'm currently a big Rebels fan. I am really, really excited for Episode 7. Really excited for Season 2 of Rebels, which was just announced that it will start on June 20th. At least the movie will.
Yes.
Which is how they did the first season. They had the Spark of Rebellion in, like, September or something like that. And then the rest of the series started in October. I'm like, why don't you just, you know, release it all at once? But that's not the Disney Star Wars way.
The Disney Star Wars way.
So whenever Disney bought Lucasfilm and the Star Wars franchise and Indiana Jones and all that, I was really kind of concerned about the future of Star Wars. I was kind of initially one of those, oh, they're going to tone it down, which, in my defense, it seemed like they were really going to make it a little more family-centric because they killed 1313, which, for those who don't know, was this really gritty-looking third-person action-adventure kind of game into, like, the lower depths of Coruscant, which are really seedy. And some of that did get transferred over to, or was the inspiration from a couple Clone War episodes, especially, like, the end of Season 5 with, spoiler alert, Ahsoka leaving the Order.
What a huge spoiler. Oh my god, I can't believe you did that to me.
It's been, like, forever. But, you know, I was really sad that they killed that off and that they killed the Clone Wars off. And along with a friend, we kind of helped along the whole Star Wars or Save the Clone Wars campaign. We sent off like 250 letters to Disney and Lucas.
Yes.
And apparently they did read those.
Oh, well, that's good.
That kind of came out at Celebration that, you know, we have heard your fan mail. I'm like, oh, that's kind of nice.
All 250 letters of them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, that was the physical ones that we got. The hashtag is still going on Twitter.
That's cool.
I still see it put out quite a bit, especially by writers for the Clone Wars. But did you have any concerns whenever the whole transition started?
Well, my concerns are a little bit different.
Okay.
Because Disney is not really expected to be very racially sensitive. And obviously, like, that's a huge concern, especially for me, because I'm Asian, I'm Cambodian. So I've never actually seen any Asian person in Star Wars to begin with. So, I was not really having, like, high hopes or high expectations. Because it's like, oh, well, you know, Disney bought Star Wars. So, Star Wars is already problematic as it is. And then Disney bought Star Wars, so now it's going to be even more ignored than it was before. So, I was just like, you know, okay, I don't really see this being great news, but it's like, it can't get worse and it can't get better. So what are we going to do? I guess I just have to wait and see. And then they gave us Rebels. And of course I'm like, oh, wonderful. We got an Asian character who's a spunky, sassy girl. Yeah. All right. She's going to hit all the great tropes. It's going to be great. Not really. Not excited. But you know what? I was totally wrong. I was completely wrong. And I am so happy that I was wrong, because the way they handled Sabine in Rebels is just amazing.
And it's just started.
And I actually want to care about Star Wars again, because, like, frankly, from even before then, I was getting a little bit exhausted and, like, not interested in Star Wars the way that I remember originally being when I first started watching it when I was a kid. Because now that I'm older and I'm more aware of all these issues it's a little bit difficult to ignore them just because I love something, because it negatively affects me and it negatively affects my community. So to actually see a positive representation in Star Wars who's actually developed and a three-dimensional character who's treated with respect is huge. It's huge. It's like so important to actually see that, because before I could not actually visualize myself in Star Wars or relate to characters in that way, in the kind of way that having an actual representation of someone who looks like me allows me to do. So I'm a little bit more positive than I think some other people have been about Disney, but representation is huge. So, you know, this is already a positive start and it can only get better from here. So, well, I was totally wrong in the beginning.
Yeah. So we were both not so optimistic, but for different reasons, because I am your stereotypical white male. I was just concerned that they were going to, you know, initially make it, like I said, you know, killing the first rated M game, that kind of made me sad and hurt.
Yeah, but the thing is that, like, when a different company takes over, they have to kill whatever projects are in development at that time, because it's easier to kill the projects than to revise the contracts that are associated with the projects. So for other people, it was obvious that they were going to kill 1313, and they were hoping that they would wait to sell LucasArts, to sell the Star Wars franchise after 1313 was already out of development. But that just didn't happen. Does it make sense?
So, yeah.
Yeah. So we knew that they were going to cancel 1313. We knew that they were going to cancel the Clone Wars because there was no way that the contracts would survive.
Well, we didn't know. Well, okay, we didn't know ahead of time. We knew it was canceled the day they announced all that stuff, I believe.
Right.
So, I mean, there was no hints, and there was not even a rumor of Disney buying Star Wars.
No.
Or Lucasfilm in general. So, you know, it kind of hit all of a sudden, and I think that's what kind of threw me off the most is, okay, that really hurts. And, you know, there's been the rumors here and there of 1313 being brought back in some form or fashion, but I think 1313 as we know it is dead, sadly.
They would have to revise everything, basically.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's still possible. It's just that, like, do we really want 1313 as we know it, or are they going to bring us something that's more interesting?
Right.
And respectful, which, too. Because basically at the time, 1313's cancellation was taken as kind of like a, you know, they don't care about the older fans. They don't care about the fans who like the more gritty stuff, like the bounty hunters, the soldiers, the clones, the Mandalorians, mm-hmm. you know.
There's which huge... we have been craving forever.
Yeah, because it's like it's a very strong fan base. I don't know how huge it is in comparison to the rest of Star Wars fandom, but they have a strong following for all the clones, for all the Imperial troops, for, you know,
the non-Force users, as you can kind of sum it up.
Right. And sometimes it feels like there's a very heavy bias for all the fancy space wizards, basically. And mm-hmm. it's like, Star Wars is a lot more than the space wizards. And which you can tell from the original trilogy, where it's like you got Luke and Obi-Wan, but those are just two characters, and then you have Leia and Han, who are another two characters who don't use the Force. Like, yeah, it's implied that Leia has the Force, but you don't actually see her use it in the original trilogy. She's still mm-hmm. a very important character, just like Han Solo is. So it's like Star Wars itself is much bigger than just the Force.
Right. Which we're seeing a little bit of a change. You know, and I'll go over Celebration, but, you know, we saw Rogue One.
Yes.
Which is not... They were adamant it is not going to have any Force users, which is a huge change for any kind of like Star Wars feature, because if you go to a comic or you go to some other game, you know, there's going to be at least one Force user. There's going to be a mention of a Force user or some kind of, you know, even for like a few seconds. This one is not going to have any of that. Or it is going to be war.
Yes. Which is very exciting.
Yes. Which, and as they said, you know, this is the war movie that would have inspired Lucas to create Star Wars in the beginning. So, I'm really excited, but like I said, we'll get into that in the celebration part of the podcast. So, we kind of discussed, you know, what brought us to Star Wars. The post-purchase of Star Wars. And kind of touched on what makes Star Wars problematic. I'm going to let you handle this part. Because you have a lot more than I say. And I may jump in at certain points. But, and you know, I certainly have my few things. But it's not as, how do you want to say, socially important?
Socially important. Well, I mean, I guess it kind of is.
No, I mean, like, my concerns.
Right.
Compared to yours. But what makes, and I already know, but like, three things off the top of my head, but what makes Star Wars kind of problematic for you?
Why don't you list the three things?
The lack of women.
Yeah.
The lack of powerful women and powerful roles. The lack of diversity, out, you know, in terms of, like, humans? Because, yeah, you can say, you know, there's a bunch of diverse women with Twi'leks and, Mira Lucans? Is that,
yes,
like, Barriss Offrey? Whatever.
Yes, they're Mira Luca.
Yeah. And, you know, that kind of thing. But they're, it, as far as humans go, it's mainly white women. And so, the other one would be, what would the other one be? Hey, did I at least hit the first two?
Yes, you did.
Okay, what would the third one be? If there is a third one, I mean, I'm sure that there's more than like three, but off the top of your head.
Well, the diversity basically covers everything. Everything.
Yeah.
But like, particularly,
I guess I meant, you know, diversity, and then it splits off from there into gender and race.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's hard to say now, because with the new movie that's going to be coming out, they're obviously doing their best to increase diversity and representation.
Mm-hmm. With, Daisy Ridley and
Lupita.
Yeah, Lupita Nyong'o.
Yeah.
Is that, yeah. And Gwendolyn Christie, which, I mean, that's two white women, but and you know, the thing is, I think the rumors are, which if you're, you know, not wanting any kind of episode 7 rumor spoilers, you shouldn't be listening to this podcast anyway. But the rumors are that You've seen the second teaser trailer, right?
Yes.
That Gwendolyn is the Chrome Trooper.
Yes.
Like the Commander Trooper.
Right.
That could be a very interesting thing, because in the original trilogy, the Empire... Well, I shouldn't say the original trilogy. The Star Wars universe, the Empire, is very male, very human. And now we have, technically, it's called the First Order, which now has a female commander, allegedly.
Allegedly. Well, okay. Let's backtrack.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. I took
about the female characters. It's not that there's not enough female characters, and it's not that there's not enough powerful female characters. It's more like, are the female characters developed properly, respectfully, alongside their male characters? Oh, even describing like that is a little bit problematic, but I'm going to address it later. Anyway, so, because basically when you have a character like Padme, in the movies compared to how they further expanded her character in the
Clone
Wars show. She does suck. It's like, it's not that she sucks, because she's a great character and she's a great female character and someone to look up to, and she's like very strong and powerful, whatever, whatever. But like, all of her motivations are male driven, unfortunately. And she's kind of reduced to this idealized image of the perfect woman, even as she's going through all the stuff, all the terrible things that are happening throughout the movies. And obviously some people are going to disagree with me about this because I'm probably not describing it properly. But that's a huge concern, because we basically are given this female character who is basically treated like an angel throughout the whole movies, all three movies.
She's called an angel.
She's called an angel, which is why I made that comparison. You know, but like, she's just like perfect. She doesn't have obvious flaws, or like, it's not treated by the narrative to have those flaws. We might notice them as fans because we watch the movies a lot and we try to like nitpick and take them apart and Maida, right, a lot of Maida, to understand the character. But as she's treated in the narrative itself without all of our input, she's the kind of perfect female character. And that's a problem. That's an issue, because then we don't see a dramatic development of character. She's just kind of constantly motivated by Anakin throughout the movies. And it's kind of like her autonomy of as a character is taken away, because she's the driving force behind Anakin's all of his man pain. And it's a little bit distressing, because then she's like, oh, you know, gotta do these things for love. And it's kind of sad, because then she becomes this two-dimensional character in the last movie. And then she just dies.
Mm-hmm.
Because her heart, she could just heartbreak. She's dead. Like, that was like so disappointing. Hugely disappointing. And totally unfair to her as a character.
Mm-hmm.
And like, actually watching the prequel trilogies now, when I'm older and I'm looking for these things, so I notice these things better than when I'm a child or a teenager, it's just like, these issues are really apparent, and she's not really treated as respectfully as her other counterparts in the story, which is unfortunate, because she's the only female character in the stories. She's the
Apparently
only
the
one that matters.
The construction workers want a word with you.
Yeah, they're fixing the roof. You know, you learn to ignore the construction noises. Even though they're right directly above us.
Hopefully this will be tailored off by next week's episode.
Oh, it should be. I mean, the construction outside, they're building a building, so that's not going to end for a while.
I was going to say, we can deal with that. We just can't deal with banging on the roof. But yeah, I completely agree with you how movie Padme was kind of
two-dimensional.
Two-dimensional, very... everything she did kind of benefited, most of the things she did benefited Anakin and her love of him. But then we go to the Clone Wars, and for me, she was kind of redeemed, along with Anakin, for that fact.
And the introduction of Ahsoka was really important. Obviously, yes. There are a ton of fans who hate Ahsoka. Yeah, that's right, I said it. There are people who hate Ahsoka out there. You guys suck.
I was one of those. I wasn't hated her. I was very skeptical, but a lot of the writing in the beginning was kind of...
They were trying to basically find the voices of the characters in the beginning,
right.
So it was a little bit rough. It was very rough in season one.
But season one is almost like unwatchable.
They still gave us a lot in season one that made us want to stay. And then the evolution of her character was just so... amazing. Like, you could tell that they created this character and they treated her with respect, and they actually saw her as important, because she got so much character development, she got so much airtime, and she was actually faced with a lot of difficult choices, just like all the rest of the other counterparts in the story. And she's not the only female character that they gave us either, but the fact is that one of the main characters is a girl, and we we could have never expected that in the past. And for them to actually do that is huge. Again, because it has representation, emphasis on representation here.
Mm-hmm.
And that the idea that people can't relate to a character because she happens to have different anatomy than you, maybe, based on some bizarre assumptions, is messed up. It's really messed up. And then we have Ahsoka, who's like getting all these little girls excited to watch Star Wars and excited to be a part of Star Wars and want to love this universe as much as we do. Like, isn't that important too? And then we get so many different kinds of female characters. We have a villain, mm-hmm. Asajj, who starts out as a villain and has her own character story arcs, and she's treated with a ton of respect, developed so well, and comes mm-hmm. into her own character towards the end of the entire series, which is amazing. It's just like...
And it's nice to see Ahsoka and Asajj almost bonding. Almost on the neutral level of, you know, that whole spectrum thing. She's... I don't know, whatever. You know, the character spectrum with, like, the chaotic neutral and the good, lawful good or whatever. You know, they kind of both go towards the neutral because Asajj is no longer a Sith. And you have Ahsoka being, you know, leaving the Jedi Order.
Yeah. Choosing to leave because she actually gets the choice at the end.
Yeah, Asajj kind of got kicked out like, oh, I don't like you anymore. You're gone.
Well, I didn't like you either. Bye.
Basically. But, do you have more to go on that?
Well, it's just like the Clone Wars animation did really well in introducing a ton of different characters. We also have a black woman. We have multiple different women who are in different seats of power. Different motivations.
Who was the black woman? I'm blanking.
I think she was like a freedom fighter or a smuggler.
Oh, remember? Season 5.
Yes, in season 5.
Yeah, I forgot her name, but yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while since I watched the Clone Wars.
It's the Onderon arc.
Yes, that one. We have senators, other senators than Padme. We have Padme.
Yeah, a much better developed Padme.
We have neutral characters like bounty hunters too. We have Mandalorians from spectrum Mandalorian. Yeah,
Bo-Katan.
Yes.
Voiced by the fabulous Katie Sackhoff.
Yes.
You had Duchess Satine, which she was a very...
Oh, yeah, she was such a controversial character in the beginning. Yes. The Mandalorian fandom was, like, losing their minds.
And she still is a very controversial one.
I like her, actually, for different reasons, but we're not going to get into that.
Mm-hmm. Well, the beginning, like you said, and I am a person who believes that the true Mandalorians should stay the true Mandalorians.
Yeah.
But, I mean... Especially, sadly, the last time we saw her, I really grew to like her.
Yes.
And then we also have, like, in front of me, because I was trying to think of Ryo Chuchi, which was the senator on Pantoran, which was the snow planet. You remember that one?
Yes, I remember. I loved her, by the way.
She slammed down... the chairman and said, "You suck. I'm going to do what I want, even though I'm like half your age or whatever.
Because I know better than you." And she did.
She comes back for a lot of episodes.
Yeah.
And she's Ahsoka's friend, I should say.
Yes.
You have Aayla Secura.
Yes, that's right. She gets a lot of development.
Yeah.
Instead of looking pretty in the background.
Yeah. Ooh, nice midriff. Boom, boom, boom. There's, now you're dead. That was all episode 3.
Boom, boom, boom. Now you're dead.
And then you had Barriss Offee, who went to the dark side, basically.
That is true, too.
But, I mean, you're no longer seeing women just as the token perfect woman.
Action girl. The token girl.
Which Princess Leia and Padme both fit in really well.
Or like the chick from the five-man band trope, if you're familiar with that trope. So, because the thing is that when you have female characters, if you only have one, then she has to represent everything. So then she doesn't get the chance to develop as her own separate character. When you have more than one female character, then each person can develop a personality, have their own arcs, have their flaws as well as their strengths, and have it motivate and help shape the story. When you only have one female character, they have to basically emulate all female characters out there always forever. And that's really limiting, especially when you're trying to tell the story. Because then she can't really move the plot. Because what if you need her to do something else later? It's just kind of like a token character that you just throw in there.
The single woman can't be everything everywhere.
Right. So that was good. The Clone Wars animated series did really well with that.
Okay, so but let's like move on to Rebels.
Well, oh yeah, Rebels is really great too.
I mean, there you have a Mandalorian girl, as you call her, the Space Asian.
The Space Asian.
Sabine Wren. And then you have Harrison Dula, which is the captain of the Ghost, which is the ship that, you know, we follow everybody on.
Yeah. Space Mom.
Space Mom. And you have two very dependently independent people. And I say that because they depend on each other. Yep, not just, you know, on each other as far as Sabine depends on Hera and Hera depends on Sabine, but as a family on board the Ghost, they all, you know, they can be independent. And I know that you haven't read it, but A New Dawn does show that Hera is independent at the beginning. She finds Kanan and then, you know, invites him on board. So she's the one that started it all, even though she's technically Spectre 2. But,
yeah, well, Kanan makes a really good target.
Oh, he does. I know.
Yeah.
But, and then you have, Minister Mark of Tua.
Yes.
Mark? I don't know.
I don't know how to pronounce her name.
I feel sorry for her. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that's the only women on the show
so far that we've seen.
So far. There's season two shows there's probably going to be a female Inquisitor or whatever female bad guy you want to call it.
A lady bad guy.
Lady bad guy. But, and then a lot of it, you know, is bringing back, well, I should... Duh, there's Ahsoka now.
Yes, that's right. Ahsoka. Spoiler alerts, guys. Yeah. Spoilers.
And they have strengths in different places, I would say.
Yeah, they're very evolved characters, basically. Yeah.
Ahsoka is already evolved.
Yes.
You know, we had to learn more about how or what she did between leaving the Order and then coming to save the Ghost crew. A New Dawn kind of shows what Hera was doing. And then we're going to learn more about Sabine in season two,
yay,
along with everybody else. But at Celebration, Filoni made a point to say, we are going to focus on Sabine and her backstory and her Mandalorian backstory, which is huge for the fans who miss Mandalorians as we know them. You know, Jango Fett, that kind of style Mandalorian, not pacifist Mandalorian, not Death Watch Mandalorian.
Yeah. Well, I like seeing the various Mandalorian types, I guess would be the way to call it. The whole spectrum, right? You have the extremists at one corner who want to just blow everybody up. And then you have the pacifists at the other corner, and you got everyone else in between.
Yeah, we don't know what that in-between group is.
Well, they could be anything.
I was going to say, if Sabine came from the in-between group, which, again, it was kind of the whole the faction called the True Mandalorians, where, you know, it's the whole wear the armor, speak the language, raise your children, blah, 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 blah.
You don't even know it.
I'm just saying that for time constraints, okay?
All right, whatever.
So rude. But, you know, we don't know if there are other Mandalorians like Jango Fett out there anymore. Where he is a bounty hunter, but he values family above all else.
Oh, the thing is that we don't really gather that as a facet of his character from the movies. We only get that from outside canon sources.
Well, we know that he values family.
We don't really know that at all.
He requested one unaltered clone for himself to raise as a son. I would say that's kind of a big thing.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that he values family. He couldn't have asked for a clone to raise as his son for other reasons. Other selfish reasons. So it's like you can't really make that assumption because we don't really see it. We're just making that assumption because that's what makes sense to us. But the narrative doesn't actually tell us that specifically. So there's no way to actually jump to that conclusion. So we don't actually have that in the movies. And we don't really have that from Boba Fett either in the original trilogy. So it's a little bit difficult to see. I mean, obviously I do want to see true Mandalorians too. Because there's a lot of them in the books and there's also a lot of them in video games too. It's just that we don't actually see that in movie or in the TV show yet. But we might. I hope we will. I do hope we will because the Mandalorians are actually a great way to show how diverse the Star Wars universe is in the first place. Mm-hmm. Particularly because there's a huge culture of adopting and assimilating other cultures and species and races. So that would be nice. But yeah. I'm not really high expectations to see it just yet. But we'll see how well they do with it or how well they don't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, any comments you want to make on the female aspect of Star Wars?
I mean,
we still need to see a lot more action figures.
Yes, we do, actually. We need to see a lot more.
A lot of Rebels.
But as we already know, certain toy companies don't think that female action figures will sell.
Call them out. Hasbro. I mean, right now they're the biggest of the Star Wars action figure people. And they came out, I counted up 3 while everybody else had like 8 or 9 individually. And it's bull.
It is bull, actually. It's a lot of bull because, like, what is the point of making the characters action figures when you're going to leave out two people from the family unit because you feel like, oh, they're not going to sell? Like, how does that even make sense? It's a family mm-hmm. unit. The entire show is about the 5 of them. But you're going to leave out 2 of them because they are not the gender that you care about. Like, that. How does that make sense? It doesn't make sense, but that's exactly what happens.
It doesn't make sense to the fans. It makes sense. It somehow makes sense to Hasbro.
I mean, it doesn't actually make sense, though. Like, monetarily speaking, it doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't.
But that's what they did, basically.
And at Celebration, it was a whole bunch of, you know, young women, old women, and young girls who were dressed up as Ahsoka or had a Sabine outfit and a Sabine mask on or... There weren't that many as Hera, but there were a lot of Ahsokas and Sabine.
Well, Hera is a little bit more of a difficult costume to put together.
Right, I was gonna say
you gotta get the
Sabine
headtails,
or Hera, but then
you
like,
gotta
no.
put all the green makeup on.
Yeah,
and you gotta wear it all day.
I think there was one I saw, and but she didn't have the makeup on, but she was super cute.
Kudos.
She's like 7 years old. I'm like, yeah. But
oh yeah, you know, that reminds me, like, specifically with Sabine, like, and seeing like a trailer of her, right? My niece actually wanted to start watching the show, you know, and mm-hmm. before she had like no interest in Star Wars, like at all, at all. But then now
niece?
There's like this girl who looks like her, who actually looks like her, and now she actually wants to watch Star Wars, and actually is interested in it, and like.
And how old is your niece?
She's like 7. At the time okay. when she was telling me about this. So it was just like kind of blew me away because suddenly there's this little kid that I care about who can feel mm-hmm. the magic of Star Wars that I haven't felt in a while. I really like have not, you know, because like aside from the female aspect of it too, right? Because it's not just about having female representation, but it's like having representation of like race,
mm-hmm.
of having someone who looks like me, you know, with the monolids, mm-hmm. with the yellow undertone in the skin, you know, having the dark hair, but not being a stereotype. Because there was a ton of problematic racist stereotypes in the prequel trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, a lot of them were represented by aliens, but that doesn't make the racism better. It just makes it worse, because then you're like, oh, they're just aliens, so you're being racist because you're associated with that race. It's like, no, you designed them to be caricatures to make fun of people who are people because you just are a racist. Like, that's basically what it was. And it's just like, watching those movies was just really damaging in a lot of different ways, because it was like really offensive, for one. Not just with the Nemoidians, which basically make fun of East Asian people, you know.
Right, yeah, I'm just letting you go at this point, because I can't say it any better.
But like the Gungans, for example, horrible stereotype, horrible caricature for what? For humor? Like, that was humorous many, many years ago, too, to a certain type of asshole. But, you know, it's just like, watching these movies and you got, like, heroic characters, too, that you want to actually be able to see and relate to as yourself, instead of seeing and relating to yourself as some offensive stereotype that you want to see get shot or messed up with a lightsaber. You know, that is damaging. So those movies like really kind of killed it for me to actually, like, why would I even watch Star Wars then? Because if all I am is this offensive caricature, then why even bother wanting to stay a part of this universe? Like, why even be a fan then? That was like my original problem with Star Wars as well.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, sadly for me, I got back into Star Wars because of all the Mandalorians, actually. Because of Republic Commando. Because, like, even though those books are, whoa, they are, they've got their problems. They have a ton of problems. A ton. But what the Mandalorians have the potential to be mm-hmm. and have the potential for, to be the kind of inclusive that you would imagine from a futuristic society, you know, that's what really kind of drew me slowly back into Star Wars too.
Right.
And I'm hoping that, well, no, I don't even really need to keep hoping, because obviously they did that with the Clone Wars, for one, the animated series, and now they're doing it again with Rebels. So I'm hoping that the movies will continue on that line positively.
Well said. Yeah. Well said.
Well, obviously, I'm leaving out a lot of details and stuff.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you can't cover everything in a hour and a half podcast. And, like, you know, maybe this will be a topic of a future discussion or a future podcast.
It was actually a reason why I'm not really a fan of Jedi as well. Because when you look at Jedi and you look at, like, their whole order and everything that's involved with their own separate culture, it looks like an Orientalist kind of perspective of mashing all the East Asian cultures together into, like, some kind of weird blob without fully understanding it. And, like, obviously there's a lot of different interpretations of that, too. But that's what I got from looking at, from watching the Jedi and the Jedi Order, especially in the prequel trilogy. Like, whoa. Like, it was basically like someone coming to my temple and then telling me what I'm learning there. Like, it's, like, kind of weird and not, you didn't really get the point of it at all. Mm-hmm. But you change something into a Western idea to give it a black and white dichotomy. And that's not really what anything of anybody is about. But they didn't really get that. Yay, Star Wars!
Well, I think we can say that the dark days of Lucas are behind us, and now they've been replaced with partly cloudy days of Disney, from what we've seen.
Partly cloudy. It's partly cloudy. But, you know, maybe Disney will actually change for the better.
Mm-hmm.
I hope.
And that's why I mean partly cloudy. You know, with the addition of Disney, not the addition of Disney.
Disney.
But, yeah. Disney, whatever. You know, things are starting to change, and we can see that. Like, we can literally see that from on screen. So, maybe things will get better. And you already touched on, I was going to say, you know, after your final remarks about the females in Star Wars, talking about race, but you kind of wrapped it up into one argument.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, okay, obviously about change, right? Like, we can see it, but change has to be a conscious decision, and it also has to be kind of, like, watched by the fans too, because if the fans want change, then they're basically holding the stories to a higher standard. And I think that we should all really hold these stories to a high standard, because Star Wars is really great and reaches a lot of people. So why shouldn't we have high standards for the story? And it's not really that high standards, like, this is the minimum demands here. But, I mean, obviously, they have completely blown all expectations out of the water so far.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll see.
Well, should we move on to the future of Star Wars?
Yeah.
So, I was lucky enough 2 weeks ago to go to Anaheim and go to Star Wars Celebration, which was amazing. It was my first big con. And so, you know, 60,000 people. Yeah, that's quite a time to jump into the con scene. Yeah. So Thursday comes around. I get there. I get to the convention center around 8:30. And there's a giant line coming from the main entrance of the convention center. I have no idea. I know that, you know, it's time for the keynote for J.J. Abrams and Kathleen Kennedy. But this is all... I want to say it's Reed Pop's fault. Because the lines were not... how do you want to say? Designated?
Right.
They were not labeled. And the only reason why I got into the place in a meaningful amount of time was because this lady behind us, her husband went to check out another line at the other end of the convention center and said, or called him up and said, come down here. And so I just kind of followed them and
come down here. Let me follow you too.
But there was no chance of me getting into the main auditorium because they started lining up at 6 o'clock the previous night. Not a shot in hell I was going to get into that place. So we get in there and 10 o'clock rolls around, you know, keynote's supposed to start then. Well, it hasn't started, and we are still outside. 10:15 rolls around, and I'm finally inside. And then between there, a bunch of us in line started streaming the keynote, which was going on, like, 500 feet away, okay, 1,000 feet away from us. We're streaming it on our phones, and we're like, something's wrong here. Not quite sure what it is, but it's very meta to be streaming a keynote that we're going to go and see on a stream on our phones.
That's funny.
Yeah. So I get in there, and I'm by myself at this point because I haven't met, you know, there other people were, well, actually, I think the majority of the people I was going to see at Celebration were at breakfast, and they didn't want to go, and I'm like, you're crazy. Like, this is going to be historic.
Like, some people are hungry, all right?
Hey, I got up early to eat, okay? I am not, in my defense, I did have time advantage on my side because I went from Central to Pacific time. So I was used to being up at 7 o'clock out there. But the day starts off with the Kathleen Kennedy simulcast along with J.J. Abrams. And I get there and they're talking with, or, you know, they're talking with the whoever the host was. I don't know his name. And then they bring out the new trilogy cast. Oscar Isaac and Daisy Ridley and John Boyega.
Oh my god.
And even though it was a stream that we were watching, it was amazing to be in the same room with a bunch of other, Star Wars fans. Because it's something that I've never really experienced it in that kind of scale or really ever. And they're just, you know, it's cute to see the, well, I don't think Oscar Isaac's 20 something.
Right.
But other than that, you know, these new faces in the Star Wars trilogy and the Star Wars saga, I guess we'll refer to it as, just talk about, you know, how they grew up and how they're all big fans, and John Boyega's being very coy about, is his character a good guy or a bad guy? And he said, oh, well, my memory's just gone.
I can't remember anything.
I just can't, you know. Oh, force trick. But, and then after that, they brought on Anthony Daniels, Peter Mayhew, Mark Hamill, and Carrie Fisher.
Yes.
I'm like, what is her name? Because they're all coming back. Now, Harrison Ford wasn't there because of the whole plane crash thing recently, and he's still, you know, recovering, but I've always heard that he wasn't much of a con person anyway. So I'm not really sure. I'm sure that they would have dragged him out there, but and it was nice to see the mix of young and old and new and old faces.
Young and old and new and old.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
It was nice to just to see the mix, and Carrie Fisher goes right over to Daisy and, like, stands by her the entire time. And she said that, you know, she's given her tips on things to do and things like that, and jokes about how she's not bringing the metal bikini back.
Oh my God. Thank God.
Mark Hamill thanks all the fans and considers us family, you know. And BB-8 comes out, the most adorable little droid you will ever see. Sorry, R2. Sorry, Chopper. BB-8 has my heart. And it's just amazing to see, after the CGI prequels, to see a practical effects droid, one that is a giant ball. I shouldn't say giant, like, he's half the size of R2. R2 comes up the waist of me, and I'm 6'4".
Oh my god.
And so BB-8 is maybe like 2 feet tall, I think. But it's just to see his head, like, move smoothly on his body, even though there's, like, no stick or anything attaching it.
Right.
How they do that, I'm still waiting to find out. But, and I think they said either that one or the other one that they have that was in the movie.
Yeah.
So it's like there's two BB-8 models, I think, is what they said. And so they're talking about all that. And then comes the trailer. the second teaser trailer, I should say. And so the room goes silent, room goes dark as it starts playing, and it pans to the crashed Star Destroyer in the desert of Jakku. And you're like, and it takes you a moment the first time you see it, and you're like, oh, that's a Star Destroyer. That's crashed. And I mean, I could describe the entire trailer, but I won't. But it's just really amazing to see. It's Star Wars, but it looks different.
But it looks like Star Wars. And it still brings that feeling that, like,
and it
really,
go ahead,
magical, I guess, feeling.
I got chills.
Yeah, me too. And I was watching, I was streaming the trailer from at home because I couldn't make it to the con. And I was just like, oh my God, I actually want to see this movie. I actually really, really, really want to see this movie.
And you see the new stormtroopers in their armor lined up against the flag of the First Order. And you see the chrome commander trooper, which, as we mentioned, may be Gwendolyn Christie, question mark?
Well, we could hope, huh?
Yeah. And then you see, well, obviously it's the Mark Hamill voicing over, the Force is strong in my family. You know, my father had it, I have it, you have it.
My sister had it.
Or my sister has it, and now you have it. And then we're like, who is the you?
Which one?
Yeah, and I honestly am like, I don't know. And, you know, it has a very J.J. Abrams feel. If you watch, you know, the new Star Trek movies, you know what that feel is. And it's not so much like the whole lens flare thing that he gets, you know, the crap for. It's just a quick universe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's very exciting. And then they showed it again. And then the keynote's over, and I turn around to this lady behind me, and I'm wiping tears from my eyes because I'm like, you know, the whole Chewie, we're home thing. That made me cry twice. And so I turn around, and she's like, I'm not the only one. I'm like, no, you're not the only one.
Everyone's crying.
And then I meet friends who I knew through our love of Star Wars, but I have never met in the 7 years that I've known them. That in itself is powerful. And now we're all crying, mainly because of the trailer. But it was amazing to be there in person. And so I'm just going to go through the schedule of events that I went to. And they had a lot of stuff that I really wanted to go to, but I just didn't have time. Or they were conflicting with my schedule, and I wanted to hurt somebody. So after that, I went to the costumes of the original trilogy. And they were talking about how, you know, they have the costumes in the archive, and they were making a book about the costumes from the original trilogy because they made it for the prequels, but not the original trilogy. And mentioning how some of them, you know, weren't around anymore. There was the Producing Jedi panel that I went to with Howard Kazanjian, who was the producer on Return of the Jedi. That one wasn't really my favorite. Because he was kind of, I don't think he knew what was going on most of the time. Yeah. So we move on to Friday, and that was the Bad Batch screening and panel discussion.
Right.
Oh my God. Well, the first thing that they show, and of course we're sitting in the front row, it's the blare. I forgot how loud the Clone Wars introduction is compared to the Rebels. Well, the Rebels just doesn't have an introduction. It's just Rebels, you know. But Bad Batch comes on, and it says, you know, the war is... Ugh, shoot. I saw that somebody posted it on Tumblr. I had to find it real quick. And I'm probably not going to be able to do so without dead air. Yay!
Yay!
But it was something. It was something like, you know, the conflict may be over, but your love is not. Thank you, Clone Wars fans. You know, like the inspirational meaning that they have at the beginning of each episode.
Yeah,
they had that, except it was just tailored for the Clone Wars fans, and I teared up at that.
Oh
yeah. And then after that, it was Dennis Morin, who did all like the visual effects shots in, well, Empire Strikes Back, but also Return of the Jedi. And then the panel of Rebels women who fought the Clone Wars. And I had no idea what this was going to be, but I knew it was going to be something pretty big. And it was ladies at LucasArts or Lucasfilm who worked on the Clone Wars and was now moving to the Rebels. To Rebels.
Yes.
And it was amazing. And it was just so cool to hear them talk about their experience of starting from the bottom up. You know, they ran and got coffee, or they were at this magazine, and I wish I, you know, had a photographic memory of what they said, but it was just cool to see it's not just a bunch of guys working behind the scenes.
Thank goodness.
You know.
It's always important to get multiple perspectives when telling a story, instead of just,
and,
you know, relying on your own perspective and assuming that you know everything that there is to know or see everything that there is to know. It's always good to have different
interviews. Let's see if I can find her name real quick. I had it before, but I can't find it now. Yeah, Athena Portillo. She's basically, and Filoni hosted the panel.
Thank you, Filoni.
He wasn't much of a host, but, you know, that's fine. He admitted it himself. He said, I'm not really a host. But he constantly referred to her as her right hand. And to hear that was kind of amazing.
Yes.
And just these women, including Amy Beth Christensen, who has been like a huge animator and designer, just talk. And it was very cool just to be in their presence, you know?
Yeah.
Hi there.
Texy.
Saturday, what did we do? We did the Allies and Villains in Star Wars Rebels Season 2, which at that point we saw the Season 2 trailer for the first time. Oh, I screamed whenever Rex came on screen.
Yes.
I literally screamed.
Oh my god.
And I was crying, okay? I have feels for him. After that, it was Star Wars Comes Home to Marvel, which in itself is an interesting topic. Dark Horse, you know, it doesn't do the comics anymore, and you can't buy them. But you can get them on Marvel Unlimited, which is their subscription service.
Ooh.
So that's something to think about. And then we didn't get to see the Season 2 global premiere, which really kind of made me mad on the way they handled it. Because they had like half of the area reserved, and it was a huge area. So, what they were reserving it for, I don't know. Was that the end of Saturday? I think it was. And then Sunday was Star Wars Rebels Past, Present, and Future, which, I'm trying to remember what that one was all about. They just kind of talked a little bit about where they're going to go forward with it and things like that. But I think the bigger story was all of the cosplay, which there was a lot of women there.
Yes.
And a lot of Ahsokas and a lot of Sabines. There were troopers there who were women. There were Jedi there who were women.
Yes.
And it was just, it was so, so cool just to see all of the hard work costumes around there. And I wish that you were there because you would have enjoyed the hell out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I would.
Next
have.
Time.
Next time.
You're going to Europe next time, right? Yeah.
No. No. I can't afford that. Oh. No.
Yeah, I priced those plane tickets as soon as they announced them. Like, oh my God.
Maybe not.
Maybe not. Maybe I'll do Comic-Con next year, which I may do this year, but that's to be seen. Celebration was awesome. I really can't say anything other than that. So the future that I'm kind of seeing, it's a clean slate a little bit because the expanded universe has kind of been wiped away.
Yay.
You know, any kind of conflicting information from the expanded universe goes away, but that doesn't mean they aren't going to use it for ideas, which is fine with me. Have you read any of the new comics?
No, not yet.
You should.
That's what everybody tells me.
Well, it's on Comixology, and I'm sure you got a few comic book places around there.
Yeah, more than a few.
Yeah. See, I'm kind of forced to do digital, unfortunately.
I'm not. This is a matter of finding the time to go to a comic
lazy.
Store.
Lazy.
Finding the time.
I'm going to just say it again. Lazy.
Finding the time.
But I am really just excited about the future of Star Wars as a fan and as somebody who has an active interest in it.
Yes.
And between me and you, we've had this go back and forth where I'm, you know, trying to be a little more non-self-centric in terms of issues. You know, like representation and things like that.
Yeah.
And my background, not my background, but my upbringing, it's kind of hard to undo. But the more I think about it, I'm like, well, that just makes sense. Why aren't there more women? Why aren't there more
Space Asians.
Space Asians, yeah, we'll just go with that.
Space Asians. Yeah. Oh. That's so horrible because Asia is like this huge continent, so there's tons of different people who look radically different from each other, depending on
yeah,
where
I don't
a person
think,
from. But, you know,
I was gonna say I don't think the Cambodian look like the Russians.
Well, actually, some of them might, depending on migration, but we don't need to.
I'm not going into that part. I'm just talking your stereotypicals.
I mean, like, you got, like, the Southeast Asians, you have the East Asians, you have people in the Middle East, you know, you have South mm-hmm. Asians. We all look radically different.
Mm-hmm.
But we all come from Asia. But when I say Space Asians, I literally mean everyone from all over the continent. You know, not just the East Asians or the Southeast Asians or the, you know, I also mean the South Asians.
I'll have to keep that in mind whenever you start calling
Space Asians.
Sabine Space Asian. I'm like, now I'm imagining Sabine as Middle Eastern. Now I'm imagining her as
actually,
Russian.
You know, because of the style of the animation, a lot of people have been drawing her very differently. Mm-hmm. And, like, obviously I get very irritated because a lot of times the impulse is to draw her as white. And it's like, mm-hmm. her facial features don't really match what you're drawing.
Right.
Why are you doing that? But right. then, you know, I've also seen Sabine not really identified as Asian, but as Latina, which is actually really good, too. In my
really? Opinion. I haven't seen that.
I have. Because I was just looking into it, and there's, like, a lot of different discussions, too. So I was mm-hmm. just like, that's interesting. And also, would be awesome, too. So, while I want to see a lot of space Asians, like, I just want to see a lot of everybody else. Mm-hmm. You know, not just white, because we have a ton of different developed white characters, you know, and you might, like, it's a huge universe. Why is the majority of what we're seeing white?
Mm-hmm.
So it just doesn't actually make sense for the story either.
Right.
You know, so.
Partially related, I don't think I've ever asked you, what do you see Ezra as?
Because
he kind of depends on the lighting scenario.
Well, he's not white. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know, some kind of maybe like mixed kid, maybe Middle Eastern, maybe because of the nose. I don't know. It's
because of Space Aladdin.
Space Aladdin. Yes, that's right. He is Space Aladdin.
That's his race now.
Space Aladdin. No, but when you describe Space Aladdin, like, people get an idea of what you're trying to say, I guess. But, you know, I just like that most of the crew cannot really be identifiably white, which is radically different from what we're used to, which is another reason why Rebels is so good.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously some people might disagree very loudly.
And I think we're going to see, not the disagreeing part, but the whole diversity thing going into the movies. I don't know necessarily whether they'll be on, you know, the same ship or whatever, but the cast, granted, even the females are white, but...
the ladies.
I mean, it's slowly, at least right now, we do have Lupita Nyong'o and Oscar Isaac, for that matter, who is... Isn't he Latino?
I think so. Let me look it up.
I'm going to sound like a jackass now, but
like,
Guatemalan
really
born.
Sure,
there we go.
Role Lupita Nyong'o is taking.
But even at Celebration, Kathleen Kennedy said we are going to have more women. Not just women, you know, diverse women. So that's, you know, it's coming from the source, which I think it gives it a lot of credit compared to the role rumors. You know, whatever. Oh, man. And her internet died, of course. But I think that gives up... It is a lot more... Oh, okay, now you're back, just as I start speaking.
Oh, yes, here I am. I have returned.
I don't know which part you left at.
Oscar Isaac. I was looking it up. But yes, okay. He is Guatemalan, so he is the...
Yes,
thing.
Yeah. And I was starting to say, you know, and at Celebration, Kathleen Kennedy, one of the questions was, will we see more women in Star Wars? And Kathleen Kennedy said, yes, we will see more women in Star Wars. We will see more, you know, diversity. And so that it's a huge thing to hear that directly from the head of Lucasfilm rather than whatever Hollywood Reporter puts out, you know?
Yeah.
That's huge.
And it's very important, too. Like, some people are like, oh, Star Wars is an old franchise. Who cares? But it's like, Star Wars is not just an old franchise. They have...
God forbid they look at Marvel right now.
A ton of video games. Yeah, look at Marvel. Oh my god. They have comics. They have... The movies are coming out again. They have the animated series. You know, it still touches the lives of people today. Globally. Not just in the US.
And as you said, there's a new generation being born.
Who are interested in it now.
Just like your niece.
Exactly.
Which is huge.
Exactly.
Because if we want to see this this franchise continue on, well, we need the next generation. Very Star Trek-esque.
Next generation.
Yes.
Oh my god.
But that is a very... It's a huge thing to keep this thing alive. Which I want you to see it go as long as it can. Personally. Because... It's hard. It's just that thing that it's always been in my life.
Yes.
And yours.
And mine.
So, any final remarks on the future of Star Wars or in Star Wars in general?
I'm very excited. I'm actually excited. I was not excited last year, to be honest. I was not.
And I do believe, how many times did I say, give it a little bit of hope?
Well, the thing is that growing up, you learn to keep your expectations very, very low, because you're always going to be disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it comes to terms of race representation or gender representation. So, like, it's easy to say keep your hopes up when you don't actually face that ever.
Right.
But growing up in most franchises and most fandoms and most media, you kind of get used to the idea that, you know, they are going to disappoint me because they've got people who don't care.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's very easy to say, you know, gotta keep your hopes up. You know, it might be better this time. But, like, that's, you're saying that in a history of being disappointed every time or nearly every time. And you don't really have that disappointment on your end.
Right.
You
right.
get it? So that's the context. Mm-hmm. So it's like saying, you know, you just gotta be positive. And it's just like, well, this is the kind of a, like, a lifetime disappointment. So I'm going to decide when I get to be positive or not. Because realistically speaking, it's not really a good idea to get your expectations really high for something that has a track record of disappointing you. Which is like a negative, kind of like a negative thing, but like it's really the reason why a lot of people are really kind of down on Star Wars in general. For example, you know, so when people are like, well, you know, you're just being negative, you're not being positive, it's kind of like you are looking at it from a different perspective than I am.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
So, just putting that out there.
Sorry, I'm just looking at this WashPo or HuffPo article. And it's John Boyega.
Yes.
Apparently his dad told him, everyone leave their plates in the sink for John to wash, since he won't tell us anything about Force Awakens.
So now he has to wash all of the dishes. Forever.
Oh, at least until December 18th.
At least until December 18th.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, so don't forget, because you're not the only person who has said that to me.
Yes.
But both people have been very, very white.
Thanks.
That's okay, you're trying. It's a evolutionary process.
Yes.
You have to want to change, and you have to want to see change. Otherwise, change does not happen. And you also have to recognize that change does not happen in order to want to make it happen. That's all.
Uh-huh, for now.
For now.
Well, I don't have any more words, but if you're listening to this and you haven't watched Rebels, which I'm sorry for spoiling everything, you can watch it on StarWars.com. All the episodes are out there now to stream for free, yes. I should say. Even though I went ahead and paid the $30 on iTunes, it was worth it.
Me too.
I think I gifted it to you.
You gifted some episodes, not all.
Okay, some. Gifted more than half the season. We'll go with that. So. Well, Izzy, I think we'll call this podcast a success. What do you think?
Well, I guess we'll have to see. Wait and see what people say.
Well, I'm calling it a success between us.
All right, fine. We did it.
That works. Yay! Congratulations!
Only one maybe disconnect.
That's true.
Woo!
Oh, well. Usually it's me that's doing the disconnecting. Anyway.
Well, at least it was me.
If you want to reach us, we have an email. It is us@averagecast.com. Yes, that is US, because I figured there's no point in me putting my name or just contact. Website is averagecast.com. Our Twitter account will hopefully be averagecast. I still have yet to set that up for some reason. I had it at one point thinking that we'd do this podcast like 6 months ago.
Well, yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Nope, average cast has been taken. Well, crap. What should we make it? AVG cast?
Oh, yeah, that works too.
Nope, somebody's taking that one.
Oh.
We'll put it in the show notes. How's that?
All right, that sounds good.
Check the show notes for all kind of contact details. We're going to try and publish this weekly. And
we're going to make a valiant attempt.
Yes, we're going to make a valiant attempt, a valiant effort. Publishes on Saturday or Sunday, depending on schedules, because God knows schedules change.
Yeah.
So, Izzy, on this note, I'd like to thank you for joining me.
It was a pleasure joining you, Zach.
This will be the first of many, I hope.
It was an average experience.
Well, when you say it that way. In the meantime, folks, keep up the averageness. Actually, be better than average. Be better than us.
Better than us. Better than average on the average day. Averagely.
Thanks for listening.